When I was a junior in high school, they told us that we were going to take the PSAT, the Preliminary Scholastic Aptitude Test, which is kind of a warm-up for the SAT, which is the college entrance exams. And so they gave us a little coaching before the test. And I remember the sheet of paper that we had to fill out. It was front and back of a sheet of paper with long rows of these tiny ovals, and we were told to use a number 2 pencil and to fill out the oval completely and don't mark anywhere outside the oval. And we were told that we had a certain amount of time, I think it was 45 minutes for each section, and if we came to a question that we didn't know the answer to, rather than worry about it and work on it, we should just skip that question, leave the oval blank, and go to the next one, and then come back later if we had time. The teacher said, use your time wisely. So I remember when the teacher gave us the time to start, the intense silence that followed as everyone was focusing on their test. And I also remember watching the clock very carefully because I knew that the time was short and I was worried that I was going to run out of time. Use your time wisely. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And in the season of Advent, we think a lot about the passage of time. The Apostle Paul in the epistle today says, you know what time it is. It's time for you to wake up. The night is far gone and the day is coming. Take off the clothing of darkness and put on the clothing of light. What he's saying is, do it now while we still have time. And in the gospel, Jesus gives the disciples a series of wake-up calls. He says that the people in Noah's time were oblivious that the flood was coming, and so they wasted their time in wickedness and loose living. And the implication, of course, is don't be like them, but use your time wisely. And Jesus says to the disciples, don't be like the owner of a house who knew that a thief was coming and fell asleep anyway, and the thief broke into the house. Be aware of the time. The Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Now, some people interpret this passage as saying that repent now because judgment day is coming, and if you don't repent and be saved, you're going to be thrown into the flames of hell. Now, I don't think that's really what Jesus is saying. Some people use this passage to cook up a theory of the rapture, that God's going to somehow lift us out of this realm of the earth. And I don't think that's in there either. That's not good theology. But I think Jesus is saying, none of us know how much time we have left. So use the time you have wisely. When Jesus said this, he was near the end of his life. This is the 24th chapter of Matthew. And it was not long after that Jesus is crucified. And the disciples didn't understand this. They didn't know that the end was coming. And they thought they had all the time in the world to be with Jesus. But Jesus was telling them, no, be conscious of the time. You only have so much time to do good in this world. You know, you can look at the clock and you can see what time it is. It's a lot harder for us to tell what time it is in our own lives. You know, when we're children, time seems infinite. There's no boundaries to time. When we're adolescents, we just want to grow up and become adults and get beyond this adolescence. And when we're young adults, we're focused on education and exploration and trial and error, and we think we have all the time in the world and we're never going to get old. And then when we become adults and we start focusing on our career and our families and our accomplishments, we don't have time to think about anything. And then later when we retire and we're in maturity, we have time to reflect on our lives and to encourage and mentor younger people and to think about what our legacy is. But no matter where we are in our life, it's still true. Use the time wisely. They say that as you get older, time goes faster. And the years just seem to fly by. I think it's true. We tell our children, spend all the time you can with your children because the time is going to fly by and before you know it, they're going to be gone from the house. Life is precious. We only have so much time, so use it wisely. Soak it in. Slow it down. Live it fully. The 18th century preacher John Wesley said this, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Life is precious. Use it wisely. The boomer poet, James Taylor, said, "Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. I know things are going to work out fine if you only will." And I think Jesus would add to that, shower even the people you don't love with love. Shower everyone with love. Paul says, take off the clothing of darkness and put on the clothing of light. You only have so much time. I wonder what time it is for the human race. You know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus came to live and die among us as one of us. It's been about 450 years since the invention of the printing press and the beginning of the Industrial Revolution and the speeding up of time. It's been about 230 years since we began this radical experiment we call American democracy. And it's only been 30 or 40 years since the beginning of what they're calling the information age, where information has become digitized and packaged and put on the internet, and time and space has been compressed smaller and smaller. And scientists say we only have 10 or 12 years to respond to the threat of climate change before the waters start rising just like they did in the time of Noah. What time is it for the human race? I think it's true as ever. We must use the time wisely. To me, time is like a fourth dimension. You have your three dimensions. You have height and breadth and depth, and they go in all directions infinitely. And then you have the fourth dimension, which is time. But it only goes in one direction, from the past to the future. And I wonder if God can step outside of time and see both the beginning and the end. Does God know how things are going to end? And to me, that's what it means to say the second coming of Christ. That in the end, God is going to bring everything to completion. It's all in God's hands as long as we use the time wisely. Jesus came to show us how to use the time wisely, to love unconditionally up until the very end. There is one instance in which, for me, time slows down and seems to stop, and that is when we come to communion. There's a poet, Yaroslav Vajda, who wrote a poem about coming to communion, and he says that it's like We're entering into the eternal now. It's in our hymnal. It's hymn 333, and it goes like this. Now the silence, now the peace. Now the empty hands uplifted. Now the kneeling, now the plea. Now the Father's arms in welcome. Now the hearing, now the power. Now the vessel brimmed for pouring. Now the body, now the blood. Now the joyful celebration. Now the wedding. Now the songs. Now the heart forgiven, leaping. Now the Spirit's visitation. Now the Son's epiphany. Now the Father's blessing. Now. 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 Amen.